Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Hebrews chapter 2. Now he's saying, you see, he's trying to explain why is it so important for us to understand how he completely disarmed Satan and freed us from the fear of death. He had to become a man like you and I who are partakers of flesh and blood. See, look at us, even in this room today. All of us are partakers of flesh, as it says here, and blood. Blood running through our vein. Flesh is the body that we have. We are human beings. And you and I are human beings, but a failing human being. A human being that has sin in us, but he had to become like us. See, the angels could not become like us. Angels could not save. Angels did not become human being, but he did. And so he's saying, because the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, this is the Messiah, this is Yeshua, this is God the Son, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Notice, he does not say that he became a sinner, no. Or what he says here, that he took part of the human nature. He was born to the Virgin Miriam. He became the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. He was born, that one that is born of you, be called the Son of God. He became a man like you and I. Lived like you and I, walked in this world like you and I, had a feeling like you and I, had experienced everything that you and I are experiencing every day. You know, sometimes people tell me, Gideon, Brother Gideon, you say, how can you say that the Lord Jesus understands what I go through? What does he know about what I'm experiencing every day in my life? Well, he became a man just like you and I. Yet sin apart. He did not become a sinner, but he became a man like you and I, spirit, soul, and body. You notice that throughout the Gospels, he was tired. He leaned, you remember, on the well there in John chapter 4. He was thirsty. He asked the woman, give me to drink. He was crying. If you remember the shortest verse in the Bible, Yeshua wept in John 11. You and I know this very well, because you and I many times find ourselves weeping for many, many, many reasons. He had experience. He was sleeping at the boat when we are tired. We are sleeping. He was tired. He slept. He became like us, sin apart. He took, as it says here in verse 14, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood. He became a man. A man that experienced exactly what you and I are experiencing every day. But you know, the writer Isaiah, the Hebrew prophet, called him a man of sorrows, which had been acquainted with grief. Dear beloved brothers and sisters, you and I have many sorrows in our lives. We have many griefs in our lives. We know that. We experience that. But Yeshua is called the man of sorrow, which had been acquainted with grief. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, it says here. But then it says why. Why did he take part of the same? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now you see, beloved brothers and sisters, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the one angel that actually the one that have influenced or tempted or beguiled Eve, Chava, in the Garden of Eden. The Bible teaches us that Satan is a murderer from the beginning. John 8 teaches us this. For he was a murderer from the beginning. Well, why does the Bible call him murderer from the beginning? You know why? Because when Satan influenced and tempted Eve, he brought about a thought in the mind of men that if God really doesn't care for men, and when Eve took the fruit and brought it to Adam, and Adam disobeyed God, Adam and the whole human race have been plunged into sin. And the cause of death is sin. The wages of sin is death. And the murderer that we have there in the Gospel of John, the Lord himself saying about Satan, that he was a murderer from the beginning. And so, beloved, it says that the work of the Messiah on the tree, when he died, he went through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now, the devil does not decide who die and who not. But the devil, what he did, with the actions that he did in the past, and the action that he still does today, he bringing about in the life of the human race, that which lead a person to reject God and eventually die and being separated from God. But when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, died, he destroyed, he annulled, you know this expression, he destroyed him that had the power of death. He rendered inoperative. The Greek word is katageo, to render inoperative Satan's power. To render inoperative. Satan has no more power over those that believe in Yeshua the Messiah. He cannot influence us and lead us to such an extent that will lead us unto death, because we now belong to another. That's what happened here. He rendered, as it says here, he rendered in verse 14, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He destroyed the power of Satan. How many people are under the influence of Satan today? You remember what we say? You are either in or out. You are either saved or you are lost. You are either a believer or an unbeliever. The unbelieving world are under the influence of Satan. In fact, we read it in 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this world had blinded the mind of them that believe not. That's what he does. He blinded the mind of them that believe not, and he led them into death, which is eventually not only the physical, and of course the spiritual, but eventually to eternal death, eternal separation from God. But when Yeshua came, when Yeshua died, he completely destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. To make it of none effect. To render it inoperative. He destroyed the power of death that Satan had in his hand. And you know, if you will ask people today, what you fear the most, you know what they will tell you? They will tell you, and I know that none of us, or I should say the human race in general, one thing that they do fear is the fact that they do not know what's going to happen after death. They do not know what's going to happen. That's why the next verse, in verse 15, he says, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, fear of death means that you become in bondage. What's going to happen after I die? What's going to happen? Where am I going to spend eternity? I know some people might say, well, don't worry, it's 6 feet under the ground and it's all over. No, beloved, it's not all over. In fact, it's not even over for the body. The body is temporarily being placed underneath the 6 feet of ground. But the soul and the spirit of man will have to be spent eternity, either in the presence of the Lord or away from the Lord in eternal separation from Him. And there is something that we all have to admit, even for us as believers. You know, when we think about death, sometimes it becomes something we are shivered by the thought of death. But you see, when we become believers in the Messiah, even though sometimes in our hearts we are not quite sure because we are weak in the flesh, because we still have this human nature, but one thing on the basis of the Word of God, we have a surety that every person that belonged to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah had been transferred from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of the Son of His love. And we don't have to fear death, because death for the believer become a servant to usher us into the presence of the Lord. When a believer dies, he's going to the immediate presence of the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's why it is so important to be a believer. That's why it's so important to be a child of God, to be a son of the Father. That's why it is so important to believe on the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Because when we belong to Him, we need not anymore have the fear of death. We need not anymore fear the power of Satan. His power has been curbed. His power had been done away with respect to the believer. As it says here, that he destroyed the power of Satan, the power of the devil. He destroyed the power of Satan over the believer. And we no longer have to have the fear of death. And we no longer have to be subject unto bondage. We no longer have to be subject unto bondage. Death for the believer become a servant to us to bring us into the presence of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Now, look at the next verse, please, with me. It says here in the next verse, because we are reading verses 14, 15, but also verse 16. And here in verse 16, he is telling those Hebrews something that is very interesting, because he's saying to them, "For verily, He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham." Now that is important. Remember what He is trying to communicate with those Hebrews, to show them that as men, the Messiah is superior than the angels, because He did not become an angel. He did not become, He took not upon Himself the nature of angels. No, He took upon Himself the seed of Abraham. Now, if you were Hebrew 1900 years ago and you received this letter from the apostle, you know, those Hebrews needed a solid assurance why they should continue to follow after Yeshua and not go back to the sacrificial system in the temple. So he's emphasizing to them, you know what? He says, brethren, Yeshua, God the Son, did not become an angel. Angels cannot save. Angels do not become a man. Angels could not bring you life. Angels could not do more than just to serve you and to minister to you, because God had gave them this authority to do, but no more. But He, God the Son, became a man. Suffer on the cross, died for our sins, and He took upon Himself the seed of Abraham. The father of all our people, all our Jewish people, is Abraham. If you read in the Gospels, in fact, this is how the Gospels begin. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, this is the book of the generation of Yeshua the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Yeshua is a descendant of Avraham Avinu, of Abraham our father. You can be sure that he is the one that you can trust. He is a descendant of your people. He is a descendant of Abraham, descendant of David. You see, these people knew their Bible. They knew what the prophets had said. When the Messiah will come, when this great king will come, he will be a descendant of Abraham. He will be a son of David. That's why they call him in his life, son of David, have mercy on us. Because they knew that he is a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and eventually the family of David. He became a Jewish man, and that's why it is very important. In fact, it was Yeshua himself who said in the Gospel of John, and let me read this verse. He says, Yeshua said unto the woman in John chapter 4. Woman, verse 21. Believe me, the hour is coming when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, ye know not what, but we worship, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Even Yeshua himself said, if the salvation will come to this world, if the person of the Messiah is going to come to this world, he's going to come to this world through the Jewish people, a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then through the tribe of Judah and through the family of David. And that's why he says in verse 16, verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took upon him to become the seed of Abraham, a descendant of Abraham. And so, this is the second result. The first result was that he brought many sons unto glory. Hebrews 2, verses 10 to 13. The second result is the fact that he destroyed or disarmed Satan and have delivered or freed us from the fear of death. This is in Hebrews 2, verses 14 to 16. And here's the last result in connection with the work of the Messiah, with the man Yeshua. In verses 17 and 18, he sympathized with his people. He sympathized. Now that he became a man, God became a man, lived on earth for these 33 years, went to the cross and suffered by the hand of man, suffered by the hand of God, was buried after death, resurrected and ascended. Now he can sympathize with his own people. That's what the last verses 17 and 18 of this chapter teaches us. Look at this. I'm reading those two verses. Wherefore, in all things it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation, or it should be really propitiation, for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered and tested, being tested, he is able to aid them that are tempted or tested. Now that is important for us. Why this thing is very important for us is like we said earlier. Someone might come and say, well, listen, brother, you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about Yeshua and what he have done, but he doesn't understand what I'm going through. He doesn't understand the experiences that I go through, the suffering, the trial, the pain, the sorrow. Well, here he's teaching us these verses, that now the Lord Jesus the Messiah became, after he finished the work on the cross, on the tree, he now became a merciful and a faithful high priest. What is the high priest's job? When Aaron, the high priest of Israel, was serving among the people of Israel in the desert, in the wilderness, Aaron was going before God to represent the people. His backwards towards the people, and he went his face towards God, and he was representing the people before God. He was a holy priest. Then he turned around, received the information from God, and presenting God before the people, he became a royal priest. You see, this is exactly what the Lord Yeshua the Messiah does for us right now. And more. Because Aaron could really never enter into every problem that you and I have. He never understood every issue and every situation that every person from among the people of Israel have, but Yeshua could. He has suffered, he has been tempted and tested all the way through, so there is nothing that you and I go through that he hasn't gone through. And that's why it says here, he's merciful. He's merciful toward you and I, and he's faithful towards God. Aaron was not faithful. You and I were not always faithful, but he's faithful towards God. Aaron could never be perfectly merciful, but Yeshua is perfectly merciful towards you and I. He has so much mercy towards us and grace towards us. He became, for his brethren, he became a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. What does that mean, to make propitiation? You see, the word propitiation, I know in the King James it says reconciliation, but actually in the Greek it is propitiation. To propitiate, it means to satisfy God. Do you know, beloved, today, you and I, every sin that you and I have committed today, maybe before we came to the meeting, and every sin that perhaps we all commit even right now, as we are even sitting here, and every sin that we will commit after we are going to leave this meeting, for these sins, the Lord Jesus died. And he's lifting up his hands. Lifting up his hands before the Father. And he says, Father, for these sins, I have died. Look at my hands. Look at my side. He was pierced through with a sword. His hands have been placed upon the cross. When they crucified him, when they put him to death. And now he become this great high priest who is interceding on our behalf. And in a special way right now, when it's come to his priesthood, to make propitiation, to satisfy the righteous requirement of God for the sins of the people. Oh yes. We do sin even after we became believers. You and I know it. Our sins do not take away our relationship with the Lord. But what the sins do, it takes away from the enjoyment of the relationship that we have with the Lord. And that's why he's lifting up his hands. And the blood is representing the punishment that he paid for the sins of the people. As a priest, he's there representing us before God because of our sins. And he's also our advocate as well, as our lawyer as well. He's presenting us before the Lord for two things. Number one, for our sins. Number two, for our weaknesses. As a priest, he does not sympathize with our sins. He sympathizes with our weakness. But as our advocate, as our lawyer, he there, standing there, presenting us before God with respect to every sin that we commit as believers right now. And that's why it says in the last verse, for in that he himself suffered, being tested and tempted, he is able to aid. The word succor in the English here, it should be aid or to bring help when it's needed to them that are tempted. Are you tempted today? Am I tempted today? We sure are being tested and tempted every day of our life. You turn the television, you are being tempted. You look around, you are being tested and tempted by the world, by Satan, and by the flesh. We are being tempted on every hand and tested. And many times we have to admit we fail and we sin. but not him. That's why it says that he suffered and being tempted, yet he never sinned. He is able to aid us who are going through these experiences every day of our life. And brothers and sisters, you know, we have to know that. We have to understand that. We have somebody, we have a person, a high priest, that is always ready to help us in every situation. There is no excuse in the world when we fall into sin to blame God or to blame anybody else. It is always Him. We have the one that is willing to help us and to aid us in every situation. The question is, are we allowing Him to help us? Are we allowing Him to come and to give us the hand that we need? And so, beloved, here's the three reasons that He's telling to those Hebrews. The consequence of His work as man. Number one, He brought many sons unto glory. Verses 10 to 13 of Hebrews 2. Number two, He disarmed Satan and He freed us from the fear of death. Hebrews 2 verses 14 to 16. And number three, He sympathized with His own people. Hebrews 2 verses 17 and 18. Angels could never do so. But God, as man, in the person of Yeshua, the Messiah, could do so, and He still does so to the Hebrews of the past and to the believers of this present day. We can praise God and thank Him for what He did for us.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.